Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the King of All Kings podcast.
J Street Vibes.
Street Vibes. Hosted by Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones.
Yeah, yeah. What is good? You already know what it is, man. You know the vibes, man. The J Street Vibes. I'm your main man, Kenny Caraway, ESPN 1320, D-Lo and KC co-host. You can hear me every day on ESPN 1320. Got my main man, Jason Jones, with me from The Athletic. Jay. What's good, man?
I'm chilling, man. You know, got my first taste of Kings playoff basketball since I was in my 20s.
Damn. I mean, I ain't even going to put your age out there, but it's been a minute.
Yeah. I mean, you just do simple math. I mean, if I was in my 20s, at the worst case scenario, I still got a 3, but I got a 4 in front of that first number. I was out of I think the last series I remember going to might have been that Dallas Kings one where Nick Van Exel and Steve Nash.
Oh, wow. They played the only time Dallas beat them is when Weber got hurt, right?
Yeah, when Weber got hurt, yeah.
So it's been
part of that one. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a minute since I've been around. Yeah, because I didn't go to any playoff games during the Artest Bonzi, Tariq era.
Well, we knew this was big time because at the Golden One Center, not once but twice, that man Jason Jones was in the building, man. So you know it was big time. And
they're gonna say I'm the reason why they lost.
Oh, they lost both games. When you weren't there, they won both games. So I mean, do with that what you may. Okay. But I will say this. We all know what it is. Kings, for anybody checking in here and not knowing what's going on, I'm not sure why you're listening to this if you don't know what happened in the playoffs. But just in case you are, the Kings lost in 7 games in the first round to the Golden State Warriors in an epic first-round series. That was a hell of a first-round series, man. And unfortunately, didn't go the Kings' way. But let's just start there, man. Oh, what a series. What a series. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I know it's not number one because the first one that comes to my mind is Chicago and Boston that one year where they had like 4 overtime games or something like that in the first round. So that was a good one. I remember there was a really good first round series between the Spurs and the Suns. But this was one of the dopest first round series I could remember. This was a good one, at least since they've been going to like 7 games and everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some interesting, some good first round. Was it the Spurs played the Clippers 1 year?
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, Game 7 was the same day as Mayweather-Pacquiao. I remember that.
Yeah, so I mean, and I just think it's what made this one different is just that the teams were so evenly matched. I mean, this was it was 3-6, but the seeding really wasn't that big of a deal. It's because
more like a 4-5 matchup.
Yeah, the West was so, jumbled up. You know, it really was about who was going to – if there was going to be a Game 7, where were you going to play it at? And the series was entertaining. I think, De'Aaron introduced himself to some people who maybe didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings, I mean, it's tough in a way because I think the fact that the Kings hadn't been in the playoffs in so long kind of gives, I won't say it kind of softens the blow, but man, you were up 2-0 and had a Game 3 without two of their key players.
Mm.
If they go up 3-0, this is a whole different discussion.
But I mean, that is a good point, and I've talked about on the airwaves how I said back in March, I think I said it on the radio show, I think I might have said it on here. I said, once they clinch the playoffs, there is no disappointing ending to the season. The season is a success. And when you're involved and you understand the dynamics of the Sacramento Kings, I think that's a very reasonable and logical take. Like, the biggest thing that happened this year, the biggest thing that could happen was breaking that streak. They did that. And I was like, look, they got swept in the first round. A success. They got a taste of the playoffs. They got done with that. But I understand what you're talking about. When you get out of that prism, which, once again, I'm not going back on it. I think that's the right prism for the Kings. This year is a success simply because they broke the streak, 100%. I'm not going back on that. But when you get out of that prism and you look at the series like a regular playoff series, that's a great point, man. They were up 2-0, still had home court. They had an opportunity to get one. I'm not saying win both of the games and be, you know, and sweep, but get one of those games in Golden State to put some real, real pressure on them and make it a 3-1 series. They weren't able to do that. And then they lost game five as well at home and kind of put them behind the eight ball. So, yeah, man, when you look at it like a playoff series, that was tough to not be able to close that out after being up 2-0.
Yeah, and you lose the last two games you lose are at home. You know, you lose your last two at home. And during the season, the Kings were always better on the road, which I always thought was weird. Because normally teams are better at home.
Yeah.
You know, but I just think, kind of like De'Aaron said, that, you know, like I said, if you remove the fact they just got in, I mean, obviously that's a big deal. But I think for me, what changed is that you didn't like get in as the eight. You got in as a three. And if the three seed goes up 2-0, even though obviously the six was not your normal six. I just would have loved to have seen them figure out how to get one of those either game three or game four. But I just look back at game three. I'm like, that was, and I think even Davion said after the game, that was the game to end this. That was the game, you know, and because it was like, because they didn't have Draymond, they figured out that kind of unlocked something for them for three games.
Yeah.
And they went three in a row and they unlocked the whole, well, we can go small. I mean, but yeah, you take away just the happiness about being in the playoffs. I mean, I think they're gonna spend a few days going, man, if we had did this one game here, I mean, game three and game four are gonna haunt them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Game four was the one. I thought game four, they played well. They played really well, you know, for the majority of that game. That was a game where they played Kings basketball. They put themselves in a position to win that game. And I think it was a 1-point game, maybe with about 3 minutes to go, and maybe even less than that, maybe like 2.5 minutes to go. And they just got like three straight empty possessions.
Yeah.
There and some turnovers and they got it to one a number of different times in that game and would turn the ball over or, you know, put up a bad shot and could never get over the hump. And then even with all that being said, they had an opportunity, Harrison Barnes right there, to stick it to the man, stick it to the man that is the Golden State Warriors. And
the man who wanted to go to his wedding.
And put them in a tough predicament of being down 3-1. And I remember, you know, being at Sky River Casino and seeing that shot. I thought he hit it. It looked good. It looked like it was going to go down and just back rim. And at that point, you got into a situation where I don't want to say you were at a disadvantage, but you had lost your advantage. It became quite literally an even series again at that point when it was 2-2 going back to Sacramento.
Came best of three, and the team that won game five probably was going to win the series. But that team's going to have two chances to close it out, and that's how it played out. And I think You look at game seven. I you know, if I have a critique or a commentary on that, how do you not just ask Davion on him? You know, is Davion going to stop him? No. You know, but, you know, that was about the easiest 50 I've seen in a long time. Mm. And, you know, and sometimes I think you can overthink things. And I just want to see him make Steph work at least, because Clay was not playing well. Wiggins couldn't make a shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all they were Steph and, you know, the second coming of Moses Malone under the glass.
as our producer Jesse would say, Steph Looney and some guys.
That's what it ended up being. And, you know, that, you know, one of those guys is, you know, all time great and carried him. But, you know, I think it's cool that we can sit back and nitpick and say, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that, as opposed to them getting swept, which I never expected to happen. I mean, I think it's good. Like, I even asked Darren after the game, you went seven with these guys. Now you see just how close, you know, how close it is to getting, to advancing. That it's not some, they didn't get any, get smacked around.
All right.
You know, you were a game seven at home away from advancing. I think they can take so much from this experience because of that.
I don't like saying this more times than not, because it kind of sounds like sour grapes. I'm not trying to have that or nothing at all. The Warriors did what they had to do to win that series, and they came through in the clutch moments to win that series. But it really felt like the Kings were the better team. They just didn't have the know-how, and they didn't have the best player in the series. They didn't have Steph Curry.
But, when you get to a game seven, that's what usually comes down to, who has the best player.
Yeah. But is that off base to say that, you know, like I said, not trying to take anything away from the Warriors, but I thought the Kings were the better team. They didn't execute. They didn't take care of business. And once again, you got a guy like Steph Curry, who's a monster out there. But I thought they had the better team. I thought they had to learn some things, though. We talked about postseason experience and all this other stuff. I've kind of poo-pooed it a lot. But, you know, being there felt like they had to learn some things. They had to learn how to win a game five and not let your foot off the gas in a game three or in a game seven when you're up at the half, making sure that third quarter stays at your tempo on the way you went. There was just a bunch of different learning experiences. Do you kind of feel the same way about that?
Yeah, I think if I went man for man, I think overall the Kings have a better roster.
Mm.
I think they have a more talented team, but they don't have the experience. And then when you saw that grittiness, time for that, they didn't have that.
Mm.
And some of that just comes with experience, some of it's personnel. And I think that's the only thing De'Aaron said, you know, it is more physical. And he said, you know, yeah, we didn't shoot as well. Maybe that's because we weren't used to the physicality, and that took our shots from us.
Mm.
You know, and he said, you know, a jumper, taking a shot in game 50 or game 70 or game 20 is not like taking a playoff shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that he gets that.
Because
you hear guys say, oh, it's just the playoffs. You know, but, yeah, he said he embraced the physicality. And something about people don't know about De'Aaron. De'Aaron likes a physical game.
Mm-hmm.
People look at him and say, oh, he's a smaller guy or he's kind of lean, but like De'Aaron told me one time, he played football in high school. He likes to hit. And so I think they had to learn that. I think, you know, one thing De'Aaron said was Mike Brown had always got on them all year about the little things. It's the little things. It's the little things that, you know, and those little, he said, they were problems all during the regular season, but now you get to the playoffs and see why those little things matter.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing out on long, you know, not giving up all those long offensive rebounds, you know, turnovers at the wrong time, you know, forcing a shot at the wrong, you know, those little things you're able to get away with against the Houston Rockets in February, come back to get you in the postseason. And you look at the game, I look at game five and game seven, the Warriors didn't shoot great.
Mm-mm.
You know, it wasn't like the Warriors were lights out. The Warriors,
game five, they were lights out. Game seven, they were.
Yeah, you're right. I'm talking about more so game seven. Yeah, game seven. Both teams pretty much were a mirror image in a lot of ways. I mean, neither team could make free throws, but the Warriors beat them at the little things. They got all those off. I mean, you look at the rebounding numbers, they weren't a great disparity wasn't like by 20 or anything, but you look at the fact that how many possessions the Warriors bought themselves again. Especially that third quarter. I mean, this is I'm like, is this Wilt Chamberlain out here? Like, what are we doing here? This man getting everything. You know, so I think there's definitely a lot to be learned. I think I'm curious to see what Sabonis takes from this. Because, I mean, he's taking some heat for how he played.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I said all season that if they faced a team with a big who was physical, that could be a problem. And they just, you know, they ran it, you know. You look at all going into the postseason, there wasn't like a option where I was like, yeah, they're going to be cool against that guy at the five. And they ran it to a guy who was just on a mission. I mean, get 320-something rebound games.
Mm.
You know, like I said, I don't know if that was Dennis Rodman, Ben Wallace, or who. You know, but I mean, I haven't looked at Kevon Looney's numbers for his career. Yeah. I seriously doubt he has many seasons where he averaged like 10 plus boards.
Right.
Doubt it. But, you know, that's that timeliness. You know, they know when to make the plays, and they know. And, you know, there was a game five when Gary Payton II got like two or three putbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just understanding the moment and just, you know, wanting it more. And I think the Kings will understand now that teams that advance do all that stuff. The stuff they kind of poo-pooed in the regular season, like, well, you know, we score a lot of points, whatever. You realize you get to this time of year, those points are going to be harder to come by. You might score some points, but it's going to be harder to come by.
Mm.
And you're going to have to get a little, you know, get a little grimy out there, you know, get on the floor more, do that type of stuff. And I think all of that's going to pay dividends for them down the road if they can take that and apply it. And it's tough to start doing it in the playoffs if you haven't been doing it all year or you're not used to doing it. So now that, you know, like Aaron said, hey, that I can be physical.
No.
And we can play good defense. I mean, you know, we can actually do it. So yeah. I'll take it.
Good to see, man. I want to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about De'Aaron Fox, man, because he had one hell of a season, one hell of a year, to be honest with you, man. So you wrote something about that. I want to get more into De'Aaron and the season that he had. It's Jason Jones of The Athletic, Kenny Caraway, ESPN 1320, J Street Vibes. We'll be right back.